spies are boring.
A special season of Spy Stories in celebration of Canada Day 2021. Join us for 10 daily episodes as we explore the world of espionage in Canada. Season starts July 1st.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring!
Jesse.
Reese.
I thought we should start this episode. You know, sometimes you can use, I think we've talked about in past episodes, you can use music to influence how people feel. So hang on, I've got a track I want to play while we do our intro.
Do you want to do the intro over this music, whatever this
just
is?
Just so people know that this is a fun show. Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on. I won't play. Come on.
This is fascinating.
Oh.
We're losing listeners by the second.
No, we're not. They're going to love this.
People are throwing their iPads on the ground and stomping on them in fury.
Don't do that. Hang on. There we go. Hello, and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. I'm Reese Waters.
And I'm Jesse Hurley.
You're in for a super fun show.
Oh my God, it's so much fun!
We've got elephants on fire. We've got
No pants!
A tiny car that 30 people will fit in.
Gasoline and matches!
And maybe even an unlicensed nuclear device.
What?
There we go. Do you think that'll work?
I mean, if we're trying to switch things up, then...
Because you said the last episode wasn't as funny, it was interesting, but it wasn't as much comedy. I thought we could make people feel the joy more with that music. Even though we felt like kind of 1930s clowns.
That's what I was picturing, like we were in a circus tent. Yeah.
Did you like it?
I did. I don't know if we should continue. Are we doing it again? Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring! To the big top, and this is where we've got elephants, we've got...
Men with beards.
We've three-legged dogs.
The world's smallest cat.
Yeah.
There we go.
I like how you just catch me off guard with that.
When will the fun music come in? Nobody knows. Jesse, I think we talked about this before with an episode, but I want to get your opinion on where do you stand on aliens and alien abduction?
Where do I stand on aliens and alien abduction? I mean, it's not very nice. They shouldn't do it.
I think any form of abduction is not nice.
Right, yeah.
Whether it's human or alien.
I believe the chances of aliens existing in the universe, 100%. I believe the chances of aliens having visited us, probably closer to 20%. I believe aliens having abducted people, probably around 5 to 10%.
What about the anal probes? Where'd you start on anal probes?
Are we talking aliens here or just...
just aliens. I mean, we all know the other ones exist, but I'm talking about alien ones.
Yeah, to like, I don't know about you, but if I'm... Okay, let's think about this for a second, okay? Let's say it's 1,000 years in the future. Let's do 200 years in the future or something. And we are an advanced species, and we're able to travel into other light system, solar systems, and we come across a planet that has a fairly, like, it's, you know, our technology is similar to what we are now, and we observe them from up space. We're like up in space, and we're like, oh wow, they're really neat. They don't have they've got some rudimentary space travel.
I wonder what they look like on the inside.
Yeah, like what are the how much shit can we shove in their asses? Like that's exactly. Not. No, I do not believe
let's go get some and just shove shit up their ass and send them back home. It'll confuse the fuck out of people. Yeah. And no one will believe them. Exactly. No one.
I reckon it's like a college initiation. They fly to Earth and anally probe one of the local humans.
Bobby, if you want to get into the frat house, you've got to fly to the local closest planet, the closest solar system where they don't know aliens exist, and shove these 15 pencils up different asses, and you'll be in. Yeah, that's
exactly. And you get the ring with a logo on. You get all this stuff. That's the good
news. And a necklace with 15 smelly pencils around it. Yeah.
So this is what this episode is getting to. So this episode is called "When Canada Built a Flying Saucer."
Okay.
And I kind of got into this in a roundabout way, but I don't know if you saw recently, there was a in the news, and this is based on a Vice article, that basically the Canadian military has been encountering UFOs for decades.
Did we admit it for decades?
Yeah, so...
Because the United States only recently admitted that there are UFOs.
Is kind of similar. This
and when they say UFOs, they mean unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, they don't mean aliens. There's no probes. There's none of that in this. This is just them, the military, admitting they're seeing stuff they can't explain. But also, this 70 years worth of the Canadian Armed Forces seeing stuff that they can't explain, such as a large tubular object being tracked by radar in 2002. So basically like the world's largest, fastest Pringles tube. A white spot turning blue and red, seen traveling in a zigzag formation. Even that, are they drunk? What? There's no benefit to flying in a zigzag formation.
Well, I mean, if they think that people are tracking them and looking for them.
But that was in 1978. And then an orange pulsating symmetrical light witnessed speeding over Ottawa by a pair of Air Force officers in March 1950. So what they're saying is that UFO sightings by the military have been going on since the 50s, and that they've been recording them. And actually, they started to come up with ways of describing them and coming up with like classifying them in a sense, because they were seeing tubes and lights and all these different shapes that they've actually been talking about for like 50 years, which I found fascinating.
Canadian
military. This is separate from the American military. But a spokesperson from Canada's Department of National Defense told Vice that they're not aware of any Canadian nexus or participation in the U.S. Department of Defense UFO study at this time, nor does the Canadian Armed Forces have a unit dedicated to investigating UFOs. But yeah, I think that would be a great comedy TV show. Basically,
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Manitoba Nights should be. This sort of investigating UFO-based crime.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I like that. Okay, yeah.
There we go. So if you've got money and you work for a channel or something, then let's do that. But anyway.
There's our pitch.
Yeah,
you know how to get all of us. Yep, we'll make millions.
When I was looking at this story, I came across the fact that Canada actually built a flying saucer.
Okay. I don't know what you mean by that. Like, do you mean, because we could just
like
build
a round disc that could fly.
That could fly.
Yeah.
Oh. What?
Kind of like in any direction. So you remember we did this, and this was Avro. You know the company that built the arrow that we did the episode on.
I don't know the company, but yeah, I remember you talking about it.
So the Canada's flying saucer was called the Avro Canada V79 Avro car, which is a terrible name for a flying saucer.
Avro, what is it? I'm looking it up.
The V79 Avro car. If anybody wants to look it up, it is a flying saucer.
Oh, wow, it is too.
See?
Wow, that's crazy.
I mean, it didn't work, but...
This is where you play the music again.
There we go. The Canadian flying saucer that didn't work. There we go.
Whoopsie.
So, the Avro car exploited the. Have you ever heard of the Coander effect? Another good name for a TV show.
It rolls right off the tongue. No.
So, have you ever been to like a kids' science like museum, and they always have like a jet of air, and there's a ball floating in the air on the jet of air? Is that's the Coander effect? So it lift and thrust from a turbo rotor, blowing exhaust out of the rim of the disc shaped aircraft in the air. It would have resembled a flying saucer as the air kind of, because the shape needed to go around the saucer to lift it. The Coander effect is the tendency of a fluid jet to stay attached to a convex surface or something. And it's named after a Romanian inventor, Henry Coanda, who described it as the tendency.
What's his name?
Henry Coanda, who okay. came up with the Coanda effect. Yeah.
I don't fully understand it.
I don't understand it. Air shoots out and lifts it up, in short. The Avro car was, they had a, you know, people say blue sky thinking. The Avro had a blue skies research
project. No, I've never, what's blue sky thinking? I've never
heard. There's like, oh, there's no limits to blue sky thinking.
Never heard this before in my life.
Oh, it's something wankers say. But, joking, I think I've said it once or twice. Anyway, there was this guy called Jack Frost, who was a British designer who was working. He joined Avro Canada in 1947. He was kind of like, almost like a Tony Stark kind of maverick military designer. He had like, he'd been the chief designer on the Arrow project, for instance.
This was in the 50s, I'm assuming?
This was in late 40s, early 50s.
So this is the 50s version of
yeah.
Elon Musk, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Elon Musk, but actually smart. Rather than taking credit for other people's work. I'm joking. Does he do that? I don't know.
Probably. I don't think he does. I've never heard that. I didn't want to say anything in case it's true, but like
I don't know.
From what I understand, Elon Musk doesn't his dad own
an iron and a like a diamond mine or something?
He wanted to. I don't know about that, but I did read a story once of when Elon. Again, I don't. Please don't beat me up if I get this wrong, general public who are listening to this. But he wanted to create a rocket that could transport the public back and forth, and he went and talked to this large corporation. And they basically were like, that's impossible. We can't do this. It's not physically possible, whatever. And he's like, oh, okay, that's weird. Thanks for nothing, I guess. And he gets back on his jet with his friends, or not his friends, his colleagues, his work colleagues, whatever. And he takes out like a laptop and a piece of paper and a pen. And on the jet ride home, he does the math and he figures it out. He's like, oh, yeah, no, this is very possible, very physically possible and economically feasible. And check it out. Here's my proof. And he showed it to them and they're like, holy fuck. And this is so, yeah, it's like a beautiful mind moment.
It sounds made up, though.
It does sound made up, doesn't it? Yeah. It sounds too good to be true. But I mean, every story about Elon Musk sounds made up, you know?
I think he's culturing like he is trying to be like that kind of Tony Stark. He's creating a persona. I mean, I've seen a video of him smashing an unbreakable window on a car with a big ball. That's you know,
I would do that if given the opportunity. I mean, come on.
Look how unbreakable this window is. In front of an audience of people. So, you know, it's two sides to every coin.
Yeah, I suppose. So tell me about Canada's UFO.
So, Jack Frost was part of the Special Projects Group.
That's his actual fucking name?
Yeah. Well, that's his kind of nickname. Hang on, I'm going to see. I guess maybe his name was John Carver Meadows Frost.
Well, that's just as badass.
Jack Frost.
So Jack from a nickname
from
for John?
SPG.
Oh, no, if you're named John, people can call you Jack as a nickname. That's
yeah, they can. Yeah,
well, I suppose they can. They can call you whatever they want. They can call you Pepper Shaker McGee as a nickname if they wanted to. But like, yeah,
that's a good name. Well, your name. You logged into Zencaster. What's your name? Grubby.
Grubby McMinty Bottom.
Grubby McMinty Bottom. There we go.
Yeah.
You can call yourself that. I can call you that. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so Jack, formerly known as John, he surrounded himself by a collection of like-minded maverick engineers. Now, imagine a maverick engineer. It's like, but the hammer goes there. No, it doesn't. He just put two sugars in his coffee, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So they called their section the penthouse, and they took over an executive wing of the administration building, and they had security guards. There were like locked doors and special pass cards, and it was an experimental hangar where they shared a space with other experimental aviation projects.
This is like Canada's version of Area 51, sort of thing, except
yeah, exactly.
Reverse,
exactly.
We're building the aliens.
Exactly. So it was expected that like any
alien craft, we're not building aliens. That'd be
good. They might have. They might have. So, you know, the like obviously nuclear war, they knew that if there was a nuclear exchange, a lot of air bases would get destroyed. So they needed to come up with aircraft that could take off on roads or unprepared fields or be able to take off without needing a runway. So so the Avro car was, the idea was this disc-shaped aircraft could lift off and fly around like a Frisbee without needing an airfield to take off. So that was the problem that it was solving, was how do we kind of have aircraft without a runway.
So I mean, looking at photos of it, and it's off the ground.
It did take off.
So why didn't what was wrong with it?
Well, we can get to that.
Okay.
it had a giant...
It looks like something out of Star Wars, man. It's cool.
It does. It's really cool. So, yeah. I mean, it's visionary because there was nothing else that looked like that in the history of anything before. So it was really, you know, I mean, as much as it like failed as a project, it's still like mind-blowing how ahead of its time it was. So it had three jet engines.
Why not just call it the Avro car? Why call it the Avro car VZ9?
Well, why not?
Well, because
why don't we just call you Jesse Ha?
Well, no, the Avro car is memorable, right? But the VZ9, is that to distinguish it from all the other?
No, that one had, that model had leather seats and a heated steering wheel. So
now there it is. Okay,
yeah. So each engine,
I do not grasp. Just a little mini rant. I do not understand corporate. The need to label their products a string of numbers and letters. I don't understand it at all. I don't. You know, like,
it's because they got lots of products and they just need to label them differently.
Of course they can label them differently. They don't have to label them after numbers and letters. No one remembers that shit. No one. Hey, you got the new phone? I got the new.
A car, you've got to give it an actual name.
Yeah, it's more memorable. The Firefly, yeah. the Miggy Bug, the
There's no cars called the Firefly or the Miggy Bug.
Okay, well, still, you'd remember that better than the new Toyota Ford 769 V8 294. You know, who the hell's gonna but that's the thing. Products are named this proudly, so
the new Ford Miggy car, the perfect vehicle for people with low self-esteem.
But still, you'd remember the Miggy car rather than what was the string of numbers and letters I just riffed off. You don't remember that at all. It's gone already out of your mind. Yet a company still, what is it?
The VZ9 Avro car.
No.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, you've got that written down.
It rolls off the tongue on a jet-propelled air.
All right, sorry, rant over. I just think it's so ridiculous the corporations still do this to this day. How's your smart car? Oh my, which my Toyota 2929-33520A.com/tilde. Right, yeah, that's great. Sorry, it's just, it bugs me.
Bad as poorly named cars.
Yeah, no, that's, well,
you know,
no.
They do have some, there are some really bad car names.
What was the name of the car?
The Avro car.
No, my car.
Your car, I don't know, the Miggy Bug?
There it is.
Well, I didn't say the Miggy Bug. We should shoot a car advert for the new Miggy Bug.
He shoots, he scores. Another beautiful ad. It's an ad.
Adverts.
Ad, I mean, it's we'll excitement. Yay, ad.
We'll be back after these messages of ads.
Ads.
So the engine was disc shaped. They had three engines with separate fuel tanks for each engine, and the triangular shape it pushed out at the end. So it was shaped like the spade on a playing card. Okay. And for this reason, the Avro Ace was eventually called the Avro Ace, which is a reference to the Ace of Spades, if that makes sense.
The car itself, because I'm looking at the Avro.
If you look at it from the side, it was kind of like a really wonky looking.
No, I'm seeing top down, and that they're circular in nature. They look like UFOs.
No, if you look at it from the side, not the top.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the craft was inherently
still looks like a UFO.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't
the craft was inherently unstable in forward flight. as the aerodynamic center of pressure was forward of the center of gravity. So it needed a really complicated mechanical stability augmentation system that was independent of the pilot's controls. And the turbo rotor had a large angular momentum, which acted as like a gyroscope to provide normal direction. So it was really complicated and really hard to fly because it was already
designed. We could make one today.
We could try.
I mean, if it took a lot of, I mean, think about it. We've got the computer power and the processing power to do that in our phones today. Easily. I say as if I know what I'm talking about.
Good to see you make it sound so easy.
You just press the button, make it do with things. The programming button.
And it was manned by two people, positioned in separate cockpits. Remember that Simpsons episode where Homer designs a car and the kids are in a separate pod?
The Homer. Yeah.
Yeah, the Homer. Exactly. But it was so hard to fly and so sensitive to control that the test pilots had to acquire a special touch. But eventually they were able to do a hands-off flight. They did improve it. But it was seen as flying it was considered tricky and likened to balancing on a beach ball when you were flying it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. It sounds fun, honestly. It sounds fun and stupidly dangerous, but...
Yeah.
Would you ride one?
But in 1952, the design was so advanced, the Canadian Defence Research Board gave them an extra $400,000. And by 1953, they built like a wooden mock-up of what it would look like.
How much would that be worth today? $400,000 in
1952. $400,000. I know. Millions and billions. Do like the Trump, when Trump millions and millions and millions and millions like that.
I didn't see that. It was 3 million.
No, 3 million, which is a bargain really for a UFO.
Actually, no, 4 million. Sorry,
4 million. It was seen as a bit too costly and really expensive as a defense project.
That's actually not a lot of money if you think about it.
It's not, but I mean...
No, like you're developing a new form of aircraft and they're like, oh, wow, you're doing really well. Here's $4 million. Like that's...
So, but this is why the Maverick engineers got wind that people weren't happy with the funding. So on February the 11th, 1953, they leaked the project. Or I don't know if nobody really knows who leaked it, but the story was leaked to the Toronto Star with images of the design, and 5 days later, they said they basically got their funding, and that they said the mock-up model, the press went wild because they were like, oh my God, Canada's got a flying saucer, so the government could not fund it then.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Oh. So if anyone there is what do you call them? A Maverick engineer. Basically, if you're just an engineer that wears sunglasses and has a
collar. Two sugars in your coffee and you don't put the hammer where it's supposed to go.
Right. Then now you know what to do if you want funding.
Yeah, there we go. But despite that, eventually the funding didn't happen. But luckily, news of the flying saucer the Canadians were building went south of the border and U.S. defense experts visited.
Hold on, start that again.
So news of the UFO went south of the border.
No, before that, you're saying did you say the funding didn't happen?
Eventually the funding did stop in the end.
Oh, so the media happened, then they funded it, and then once the media kind of the press died down, the media
they stopped funding it.
I was confused because you said it. Yeah, you said.
But then the Americans decided to fund it.
What?
And the U.S. Air Force gave them $750,000.
To keep
developing. Exactly. And they changed the name. You're going to love this, Jesse. They changed the name to Weapons Systems 606A.
Fucking rolls right off the tongue.
And they had another $2 million joint services contract. So basically the money was pouring into it. So the U.S. Air Force wanted them to build and test two of the Avro cars.
Any better than the Miggy.
Yeah, better than the Miggy bug. So the Army was really interested in the Avro car as well. They could see it wasn't
the
just the
American car or the Canadian military?
The American Army. Okay. So the Air Force and the Army were interested. And they were given like extra funding. And they even boasted, do you remember the Huey helicopter? Famous for, in like Vietnam movies.
Right.
the Huey. So basically, the one of the researchers who was building the Avro car, he was at the he was in Washington D.C. and he overheard a U.S. Army general say that the Huey would be the last helicopter the Army would buy, since the all helicopters would be replaced by the Avro car. Wow. That's how confident they were.
And so, which is why they gave them less than $1 million to continue.
Yeah, exactly. So the first working Avro car rolled out of the Malton factory in May 1959.
Okay.
And it was tested.
There's got to be footage.
If you Google it, there's footage. So unfortunately, hot gas from the exhaust was mixing back with the intakes, reducing the thrust, and it only generated a small amount of lift, so it couldn't take off properly the way it wanted.
Say that again. Tell me. I'm actually
so the hot that. Air from the yeah. from the exhaust was being sucked back into the engines to lift it, so it just meant it couldn't take off properly.
Because it takes off by like about a foot off the ground. I'm watching it, and it's like it gets about a foot off the ground, and that's about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat, though. It's really, it looks like it's a fucking flying saucer.
Yeah. So in 1959.
It was able to hover a meter off the ground.
There we go. That's still impressive. I can't hover a meter off the ground. Can you?
We'll get to that, actually. I was going to mention how that's, like, not just by myself. Oh, you mean, no. Okay, no.
David Blaine can.
No, I don't mean just, like, telekinesis, just to hover with my mind powers. No, but, like, it's, okay, so. There was a guy who we have drones that can lift humans now. And there's a guy who flew across the English Channel. He had to stop halfway across to refuel, but then he continued just on a drone, like a personally made drone to suit him. But he's just standing there flying, a single man, not in a craft, not in an airplane or a helicopter or a UFO, just standing on a drone flying. And the world went meh, whatever.
Well, I mean,
what the fuck? We can fly now, and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, because like they're not going to let everyone do it. I know, like in sci-fi films, it's really cool to have people flying around cities, like you know, Inspector Gadget style. But a lot of people are going to die.
Sure,
that's not me making a threat. That's just. This is gonna happen.
No, but I'm just saying we've been wanting to fly since the dawn of time, and now we can do it, and nobody cares. It's crazy.
I mean, all the cool stuff's on the ground.
I'm watching the Avro car VZ-9. Fuck that.
Do you know what?
If
this podcast gets as big as Joe Rogan, not the size of his body of his show.
Right. Thank you for that.
Just to clarify, we will. One thing we'll do is we'll build you an Avro car, and then you can just live stream as you try and fly around Halifax. How does that sound?
I mean, it looks really goofy how it's fly. It just wobbles. Or it's the most goofy looking. You should see this thing fly, man. It's
in 1959, on the 29th of September, the first attempt to hover was made with it tethered to the ground. The vehicle became airborne. An uncontrollable roll and pitch coupled oscillation started that forced the three wheels onto the ground. And the pilot, W.D. Spud Pataki, immediately shut down all engines. So basically it was kind of like, you know, when you drop a coin and it does that, whoa, 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 and before it hits the ground, it started doing that. With him inside. So,
yes.
So they.
That's how you know if they're taking off or landing.
Exactly. Well, his vomit hits his little pod window of the Homer. So they were determined to fix it, but the funding ran out in March 1961, and the proposals...
They couldn't get another $400,000.
No, I know, and the proposals for the modified design weren't accepted. The Avro car and all related projects were officially cancelled in December 1961 by the US military. And they tried to keep it going, but it just didn't work. But the thing was as well, they kind of capped the project. And also around this time, they were developing other kind of aeroplanes that could take off and lift. And have you ever heard of the Harrier jump jet?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So that was a British jet that could do vertical takeoff.
I've seen that. That's cool. First time I saw that was in the movie.
It was in 1967. It was
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So that was a
True. Oh my God, what's the name of it?
True Lies.
True Lies. Yeah. Love that movie.
So that was a British design from the 60s. So they did it, but it was just it's an amazing feat of engineering. It looks like a normal jet, and the engine's kind of pointed down, and then it gets up in the air, and then they twist. It looks like, you know, like the jets they use in, like, the Quinjet, is it, from the Avengers, where it takes off and goes. It was that, but they built it in the 60s.
All right, that's impressive.
Which is amazing. So it's a Harrier jump jet is impressive. And that was in service in the British military for decades, because it could just take off. They could fit more planes on aircraft carriers, basically. So that was one that worked, but it wasn't saucer-shaped because of all these problems that came up. So the second Avro car, they'd built two, so the second one had logged like 75 hours of flight time. But even
you say they built two what Avro cars?
They built two Avro cars, but
the Avro car VZ-10.
No, they just built two models, and they got good flight time, 75 hours of flights, but it was seen as a failure. Eventually, it could never lift itself more than a few feet off the ground.
I know, it's so silly looking. You should just go. It couldn't go
very fast at all. It's so
wobbly.
it was also produced unbearable heat and a screaming exhaust noise that made it impractical for the military. So you just got people sweating and they're deaf and they're wobbling into the theater of conflict, hoping to win a war.
Oh my God, it's so wobbly. It's so cute. This is the cutest thing the military has ever made in Canada, for sure.
And do you know, there's a full-scale replica of the Avro car that was prepared for a 2002 production Avro car, Saucer Secrets from the Past, which sounds
saucy.
Sexier.
Did you say saucy secrets from the past?
The Saucer Secrets. That'd be so funny. Just like a horny story of this secret maverick engineer.
Saucy anyway. Secrets from the past.
Jack Frost was a maverick engineer.
Keep going. I'm not going to stop you. This is great.
Linda was a...
it's a bear.
An ordinary brown bear.
With a taste for human flesh.
Little did she know she would be swept off her feet by his saucer.
It sounds sexual, but I don't know how to make that.
It's just a man flying a saucer into a bear. Anyway, and it now resides at the Western Canada Aviation Museum in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Is it an actual working model?
No, it's a replica, but you can go and see a replica of it.
We should do that. Add that to our list, our road trip list.
I know. So if you want to go and see the Avro car, I mean, I'm as much as we're making fun of it, visionary. I mean, but they didn't know it was going to work until they built it, really.
I suppose. Yeah. All right.
I love the little bubbles, though. It does look like a little frog toy.
I know. It's so cute, right? Like,
I know. And there's, I don't know if you found the pictures. Some of them, they've got them flying and they've got cannons on them on the top somehow. As if they're like flying saucers with cannons glued to the top.
That's amazing. I bet we could make this today. I bet we could make this the way they envisioned it back then, but with today's technology.
You say we. I don't know who we are, but...
Today's technological engineer, Marvel, smart guy,
I bet you could probably build...
You and I.
No, but you think about the noise and the heat. I bet they could probably build a battery-powered version, like based on drone stuff.
Might
actually fly better because you could probably. The problem was they were working with like 1950s jet engines. You could probably create something with like. You could have a ton of mini kind of turbines all the way across the bottom, like, you know, drone stuff, and probably make something that could work. Maybe they've got one.
Maybe that's what the states keep saying they see and they can't identify.
Maybe
our new version of the Avro VZ-9, the new Avro VZ-12.3.
Oh, that was the one you came up with, the Miggle bug.
The Miggy bug.
The Miggy Bug.
Yeah.
The new Honda Miggy Bug. You won't like any of the colors. You can actually buy, you know, those model plane kits. I used to love those when I was a kid. I used to love gluing my fingers to my face when I was a kid.
When you were a
kid, they've got one for
the
Avro. I've
seen you do it last week,
Jesse. We need hot water.
Did you do it again? You did it again.
Okay. You did it again. Yeah. I remember once actually doing like little model kits, and I remember gluing a part of it to my fingernail, and I couldn't get it off, so I had like a tiny plane seat on my fingernail. Well, some ear.
That was last month too, right?
That was last month. Yeah. Exactly. But I'm gonna get an Avrocar model kit.
Oh, that'd be cool. We should build one. We should. Yeah, that'd be nice to make and sell.
Yeah, wonderful. Have you enjoyed learning about Canada's flying saucer?
I have.
I just realized there wasn't a lot of politics in this, but
no, that's. I mean, it's military and that's political in nature, right?
But America got involved at some point. The end.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah. That's military. I'll take it.
The Avrocar. This has been the story of the Avrocar, the Miggy Bug, and other vehicles names.
We're playing the video over top of this. Keep going. Okay. It looks so funny. Oh my god, yes.
There we go.
No, you gotta do this. Viewer, play this. Just find a YouTube clip and play it over this. It's amazing.
Well, while it's trying to fly. Sorry, audience. That was just for Jesse.
Oh my god, no, seriously, please do it. Rewind and find a YouTube clip. It's so worth it. It's so fucking worth it. Oh my god, that was so funny.
Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Oh, thank you. Oh, call to action, Mike. So I have a call to action for everybody. Please take out some crayons, some colored pencils, or do this digitally, however you want, and draw your own version of what you think the Miggy Bug looks like. Think of like the Homer, but it's your own car. The Miggy Bug. It can fly. It could be on the ground. It can do whatever you want. Or have your kids draw them. Send them into us at CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com. And if we like them, we'll put them up on our social media and we'll talk about them in an episode.
All of Canada's latest technology in a small car.
Yeah. The Miggy Bug. All right. That's it. I'll be surprised if we get a single one of that ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I love that it's almost like a kid's TV show. And why don't you design your car and send it in? Our favorite design will win a Tamagotchi or something.
They don't make those anymore. That was a really fun episode. That was super fun. More of those. More fun. Yay, fun things.
Yeah. I like fun things. Well, thank you. Oh, and
fun things are fun.
This is the last episode before our spy season kicks in.
Right. Oh, so, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
So I can't wait to record those episodes. I can't wait for us to do those. The spy season is going to be the daily shows for 10 days.
Right.
And hopefully we'll blow your socks off, metaphorically.
And literally.
And literally. Well, I don't know how we would do. How do you blow somebody's socks off?
I became friends with, I think I might have told this in a previous episode, but in case I didn't, I became friends with my gym teacher in Calgary. Jeffrey Azahovich. Hey, Jeffrey, if you're listening, you're probably not. We don't talk anymore. So although we talk now and then, I'll message him like once a year. I'll say, hi, what's going on? He graduated from, anyway, that's neither here nor there. One time for a Christmas gift, you know how you get mittens for your kids and the mittens have a piece of string that runs up one length of.
So you don't lose them.
So it like runs up the one sleeve and then through down your other sleeve and attaches to your other arm. Well, we made him a pair of socks. My brother and I made him a pair of socks that did that. So you're right. You put on the right sock and there's a string that's attached to that sock that runs all the way up your right pant leg and then down your left pant leg and attaches to your left sock. So you never lose your socks.
Wow. Well, there was us talking about the amazing invention of a saucer, and you had that.
Right?
Yeah.
I could have been an inventor, just saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a long episode, but it was worth it. It was a good episode, I think.
Yeah. I hope we patented that because someone's going to go and make those now.
Please do. For the love of God, please somebody make that. Just give me a tiny credit anywhere. Just go on Ellen.
If you measure up so the string is just long enough that once they put the socks on, they can never take them off.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, this has been wonderful.
I look forward to seeing all of your Miggy Bug Miggy creations. Bug. Yeah.
Please email us. I'm going to do one. I'll do one.
All right.
Miggy Bug.
You're going to design one.
I'm going to design one.
I can't wait. I'm very much looking forward to it.
The new Miggy Bug from Honda. The car you don't want to be seen in because of the name, the colors, and just how it looks. It's a bit weird. that's all I got.